Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe, and we're continuing our discussion about God's glorious kingdom arising in the earth. Last time we talked about how our light had come, that light being the truth of God that leads to a prosperous path in this dark world. We ended that episode asking, Beloved, our light has come. What are you going to do with it? Well, if you need some coaching on what to do with that light, this message is for you. Because we don't want to just know truth, and that's what the light is. It is the truth of God. But we want to live it, and we want it to manifest in our lives, especially in these evil days. We are the answer that this world needs. We are the superheroes, if you will, that this world needs in this time of darkness. As Isaiah 61:3 says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, that's unbelievers, shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And that is a command from our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, for his body in the earth today. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The light that believers carry is like none other. Inside of every believer is the Holy Spirit, and we call it Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's according to Colossians 1:27. That hope is the light or truth of God that the Father once manifests in the earth. Along with that truth is the anointing or spiritual empowerment through the Holy Ghost to bring that light to pass in this dark world. And that happens when we obey the truth that we hear. It becomes the glory of God that we see manifested in the earth. Now, in the world, everybody's talking about their light or their truth. But how could it be that everybody's truth is really truth? And that's the issue with the world. This is another form of darkness. There's no clarity on what truth is or is not. That didn't work when we were in school, when we took those true or false tests. And it won't work with God when we all stand before him and are judged for the things that we did with the truth we heard about him and his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 6:23, and this is the Paula Matthews translation, the candle or lamp of the body is the eye. Now, if your mind's eye is open to truth, then your whole being will be filled with light. But if your eye is evil or jaded towards truth of God, then the light within you isn't light at all, but it is darkness. In that case, your whole being will be filled with darkness. You have to understand that we don't see with our eyes. We see through them. It is the mind that determines how we see the world. That is why we are commanded to renew our minds and no longer be conformed to how the world sees things. Once we're in Jesus Christ, we have a new mind. It's called the mind of Christ. And it is our mind that gives us an opening to God's word and determines whether or not we're in light or in the darkness. Now, years ago, the Lord showed me how his light manifests as his glory when we act upon his word. My team in Los Angeles was on assignment, and God had given each of us instructions. And as we walked out, the instructions God gave us, a light emanated from us along the path where we walked. And in the spirit, the Lord showed me what it looked like. It looked like someone had taken a lawnmower and just mowed right through the darkness. It's a path of life. And as we walked, it reminded me of what happened in Acts 5:15, when Peter walked and his shadow healed all those people who were along his path. I saw the same thing happen with my team. It happened everywhere we went, as long as we were obeying the Father. In the spirit, people were getting healed. They were getting delivered. Some of them got financial miracles. Just amazing, miraculous things were happening, and they didn't understand why. It's because we were in obedience, and as we walked by, the glory of God moved with us, changing every situation along our path. It's like Jesus said when he cast out a devil, if I by the finger of God cast out these devils, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. He said that in Luke 11:20. By the same reason, if we are walking and miracles are happening as we're obeying God, then the finger or the working of God is happening in our midst. And what he meant by the finger, it means the power or the spirit of God is doing the work. It's not us, it's the work. And Jesus even said that in John 14:10. He says, the words that I speak are not my own. It's the words of the Father. But when I speak it, it's the Father that does the work. The same thing happens when we obey that word. It's the Father who does the work. All we do is carry out the word we're hearing, and it causes the supernatural to take place in our lives. So it's interesting because I not only saw it with my team, but the Lord began to open my eyes to see it every time a believer, it could be a housekeeper, it could be a mother or a trash man. Anytime they walked out what God was telling them at that time, the glory manifested. It transformed not only their situation, but the situations around them, because the light of God or his glory emanated out of their spirits and transformed the world around us for good. And why not? Because God and his word are the same. God makes no distinction between himself and his word. So when we're actually walking through what he told us, it's the word manifesting. When we walk out what God says, it's him. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Father. It's all the glory of the Godhead operating in the world around us and transforming things for the good. Now, I've heard people talk about how they let their light shine by doing good things, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are good things, and then there are God things. The light shines brightest when we do the God thing, and I'll explain why. There's much deception in our world. The devil's kids are doing good things. They're pretending to be children of light, and this is because the devil knows how to manipulate people for his own purposes. I personally know people who turned to witchcraft simply because the witches did good things. They loved them, they treated them special, gave them gifts, and even did favors for them. So what's the difference between a witch and the average Christian if they're both doing good things? Whose light would you believe? Let's take it a little step further. There are people who talk about light, which is very common in New Age cults. People claim to be in the light. As they say today, there's some that say that they are woke, but they're deceived. The knowledge that they have is dark knowledge that comes from Satan and comes from the world. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us to test the spirit to see if they're of God. Now, if they're not of God, that means they're not in light, but it's darkness. And one test is a spirit claiming Jesus as Lord? That's what it says in 1 John chapter 4. Any spirit that does not confess Jesus is the Christ is not of God, but is of the Antichrist. That's your litmus test of whether or not it's from God. Now, some time ago, there was a pastor who appeared on a talk show talking about his book on the law of attraction. Everything he talked about sounded good, but there was another spirit in operation. Now, I knew people who went to this man's church, and one day I was given a tape of his sermon, one of his sermons talking about the light. It sounded good, and the person who gave it to me was confused because they had been raised on the Bible. It sounded very good, except that the pastor and his teaching never mentioned the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't even recall that the Bible was even mentioned. But this person told me that once in the congregation, someone mentioned the name of Jesus Christ, they were escorted out of the service. When this person asked the pastor why they didn't mention Jesus Christ, it caused a problem between that person and the pastor. Why? Jesus was not their Lord. This man had smooth words that sounded like the Bible, but it wasn't the Bible at all. He taught a New Age thought that sounded like the real deal. Then sometime later, I was working on a job and I worked closely with somebody from that same church. I've known a lot of people from that church. But we got into a conversation about hearing the voice of God and knowing the Holy Spirit and talking about Jesus Christ. And this person got angry and refused to talk. She was convinced that Jesus Christ was not the answer. Now she talked about God, but she refused to talk about Jesus Christ. And what she told me was what her pastor taught was the truth. She didn't want to hear about Jesus. She didn't want to hear about the Bible. She just knows that her pastor spoke the truth. It was the name of Jesus that caused this person great consternation. We pray for such people, that they will thoroughly come into the knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ and not just stand on the fringes of truth. Now listen, this is not the time to play with the truth either. That devil knows who is pretending. He is no friend to any human being, whether you know the truth or not. It's a time to put up or shut up because the masses are ill-equipped to handle the demonic forces that are possessing them. Even our leaders over the nation and even the churches don't realize that they themselves are demon-possessed. Like I mentioned that last time, the Lord said that they were under the power of the evil one and they had no power to withstand him. They couldn't overcome him. Why? Once you yield, that's it. He takes over. But the same thing happens with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you yield to his spirit can move through you to do supernatural things. But understand, in this world of darkness, and it's going to get darker, the only refuge in these last days will be the kingdom of God. So we must let our lights shine, that people will have some way of safety, an ark of protection during the storms of life. And let me reiterate, The storms are not coming because the devil is increasing. The storms are coming because the kingdom of God is arising and the enemy's trying to put out the light. So he's going to be doing a lot of crazy things because he doesn't want God to shine. He doesn't want God's people to shine. So anybody who's going to act on that light, get prepared for a fight because the enemy's doing as much as he can to keep the light from shining. He's trying to block it any way he can, but he can't. So given that, how do we let our light shine in these evil days? Again, the light of God is the truth of his word, but it does us no good until we put it in our mouths and endeavor to act upon it. And I have to admit, there's some evil days. There's some scary, scary things. It's going to take some courage. You're going to be strong and very courageous to stand in the evil day. But know this, God's kingdom is a voice-activated kingdom. When we speak the word only, we will see the Lord manifest that word in our circumstances. This is how we will let our lights shine, and the people will see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Let's take a look at these good works. What are these good works? By the Spirit, I can tell you that they are the greater works that Jesus spoke about in John 14:12. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So the standard Jesus is looking for in these last days are the greater works. These are the works that the world is looking for. These are the works that will determine whether our light outshines the darkness. So let's take a look at some of the things that Jesus did. Let's take an example. Jesus rebuked the winds and caused the seas to be calmed. This is how he let his light shine. Remember, it was a storm on the seas. His disciples were in a boat. Jesus fell asleep in the boat, and the disciples were so afraid of the storm, they thought they would die. But Jesus got up, he rebuked the winds and said, "Peace be still," to the seas. And the disciples were amazed, and they said, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, that they obey him." And this is Luke 8:25. This is what's going to cause the gospel to be preached in these last days. God's people are going to say certain things, do certain things that are going to cause what seems to be major storms to stop at the command of their word. And people will stop and say, "What caused you to? What did you do? What did you say? What kind of person is this that causes a storm to stop?" And then that's the doorway. That's the platform for which the gospel will be preached in this last day. I recall the Lord showing me that his people would be doing works that defy nature. I've seen some of them in my life. I recall one time that there was a hurricane coming, and the Lord said, "Speak to the hurricane." And I spoke what the Holy Spirit told me, and the hurricane went up somewhere else and moved away. I mean, there's things that the Lord will tell you. Speak to the storm. I've done it myself. He's had me do it. But you have to be in tune to the Spirit of the Lord and hear his voice. Now, I wrote about some of these things in the War Journal, Volume 1. The Lord had showed me in particular a mountain moving, and it was a crazy time where evil men were trying to hide from God and to flee from his wrath. And they were trying to get into the little cracks and the caves in the mountain. And the mountain moved, and the men were disturbed. And then the Holy Spirit showed me that at the base of the mountain, there were a handful of believers moving the mountains by their faith. Now we know it's humanly impossible that people can physically move a major mountain. So they had to be doing it by their faith. But we also know that faith speaks. Just like God spoke and the worlds came into being, we speak and whatever God commands us to speak will come into being. And that's how Jesus rebuked the storm. He opened his mouth and spoke the words of life. He spoke the words of light in the darkness. He spoke God's words. Let's take another example. This is something that's impossible to do in the natural. But the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water. Again, another storm. And Peter said, "Lord, if that be you, command me to come out on the water to you." And Jesus said, "Come." And at that word, Peter stepped out of the boat and began walking toward Jesus. And he indeed was walking on the water. But that was impossible, right? Consider it was a stormy night. Yet Peter walked not on the water, but on the truth, the light of God that made a path upon the waters. People, we're talking about miracles here. Miracles that begin with the word that we hear from the Lord. That's the light we'll need to overcome the dark storms of this life. And when we act on that word, it will manifest in God's glory. This is the power of God's kingdom to defy all the laws of nature. all the laws of time, space, and matter. In fact, that is what the Lord taught me when he first began teaching me about his kingdom. The Lord said that when we obey his word, that our obedience would cause his laws of his kingdom to supersede all other laws in the universe. Think about that. Our obedience is all it takes to miraculously supersede the laws of gravity, of time and space, of matter. And that's what a miracle is. People of God, it's time to fill your hearts with God's words. Then open your mouths and let your light so shine. For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. That's what it says in Matthew 12:34. And Jesus taught us that out of the good treasure of our hearts, we bring forth good things. So fill your heart's treasure with God's word. When you speak those things in the atmosphere, you will bring forth God's goodness in the earth. This is a law that will always work. Whatever we have in our lives today is because of the words we have spoken. And you can always tell what's inside somebody's heart by the words that they speak. This works for the preacher, the president, the businessman, and the housewife alike. Jesus said it in Mark 11:23. We will have what we say. Now, if that's the case, ask yourself, what do I want? Do I want what's going on in the world? Or do I want something better? If you want a better outcome, then find some better words. And what better choice can you have but the word of God? Your words are seeds that produce things in your life. So as the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Watch what's going into your heart. Watch what you're meditating on. Because out of your heart spring the issues of life. So it's time to be in prayer and in the word of God like never before. Fill your heart up with what God says. Put those words in your mouth and watch them come to pass. This is what God said to Joshua before he overthrew the city of Jericho. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What are you meditating on? Whose words are you pondering in your heart? Is it good treasure or is it evil treasure? Is it light or darkness? Beloved, I don't care what it looks like. The glory of God is moving in our midst. In fact, I recently posted a word from the Lord on our prophecy site, which is letstalkprophecy.com. God said, the best is yet to come. He said that his plan was working. Now, if God talks like that, who am I to doubt the word of the Lord and start speaking evil against it? Sure, darkness is in the world, but it's not the end of the story. The darkness has come to set the stage for something much brighter to come. God does some of his best work under the cover of darkness. So while others will be struggling to see their way clear, God's word will provide prosperity for his people. Here's a sign of things to come, as it is even now. In the realm of the spirit, I saw the Lord flip a huge light switch, and his people were transformed immediately. It was as if the light of God was turned on inside of them, and God's people knew what to do. They knew what to say. They knew how to respond to things in these evil days in which we live. They did as Isaiah said. They did arise. Oh, how they shined, because their light had come. The glory of the Lord had risen upon them all. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, because this word came from the Holy Ghost. No matter what it looks like in the world, always strive to see the good, because it's always there. Because God is good. He is light in the darkness, and there are treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places only for his people. Think of it this way. The darkness is only the backdrop for God's grand finale in the earth. God is not only creator, he is producer and director of it all. Each of us are mere players, actors, if you will, in God's glorious production. Once you've completed your part, it's time to take a seat and watch as God unfolds some of life's greatest mysteries known to mankind. It's our time to rise and shine so that the world will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.